Hello, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Saga Jakubchek, and you are listening to the DME Interns Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the DME Interns Podcast. I'm your host, Saga Jakubchek, today joined by Sarah McDonald, a writing intern here with the DME. In today's podcast, we aim to highlight her unique experiences writing for us within the State Department. Sarah, it's great to have you on.
It's so nice to be on. It's a wonderful day, and it's wonderful to be able to chat with you. I love these opportunities to be able to talk about this internship and the work that we do. It's just a really fun experience. I'm glad to be here.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Hopefully I've got some really meaty questions for you today. Don't think it should be a problem though, because I remember when I sent over a few questions to you as a preliminary, you in true writing intern fashion sent me back two whole pages. And I was like, yes, understood the assignment.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I like to write and, you know, I get to do that a lot in this internship. And I love the opportunity to be able to get all my thoughts down on the paper and just kind of flush it all out ahead of time.
Absolutely. Well, how about summarizing just to start, like a very bare bones kind of skeletal description of what your responsibilities are here within the DME?
Sure. So as a writing intern, obviously, I do a lot of writing. Most of the writing that I do is writing Veteran of the Day articles for the VA news outlet, news.va.gov. You can find those up there. Just the front kind of page, little article right there highlights a veteran every single day. These articles are abbreviated as VODs, that's what we call them, and they highlight different men and women who have served in our country along with what their lives are like after the military as well.
What generally would you say is your process for finding these veterans? Does it differ from the process of other writing interns you know?
Sure. So it's very unique for every writing intern how they find a veteran to write about. When you make a VOD, there's kind of a lot of steps involved. The first step is finding the veterans in the first place. Now, both of my parents are veterans. I have lots of family members who are veterans. I'm really blessed to have lots of family friends who have also served our country. So quite often I get to talk to them, and it's really fun to just to be able to sit down and hear their stories. But another way that I like to look at researching for veterans is through LinkedIn, any sort of networking connections that I get to make, and then I get to network with people and write their stories, which is really fun. I like to research through my college's archives. I go to Gordon College, and quite often, lots of the graduates of the school will either serve in the military as sergeants or generals, or even we see lots of chaplains too, as it is a Christian undergraduate school. So it's really cool to be able to see how people who have gone to the same school as me will also serve our country. So oftentimes that's how I get started looking for different veterans to write about.
I see. It just sounds like there's so many good resources out there. And as you mentioned before, both your parents are veterans. So thankfully, a game of spot the veteran is not difficult in this day and age at all.
No, it's a really fun thing to be able to learn about people. And I think oftentimes it's okay to just ask people that you meet, like, have you served? Oftentimes you'll see people wearing their hats or wearing a brooch or something like that. And it's a really fun way to just get to know someone, even if you don't know them that well. I love talking to people, and I love getting to know people that I often don't get to interact with. So it's a great conversation starter, and it's a great way to kind of plug my internship and also get a little bit of work done, but, you know, also just to, like, meet people and have a meaningful impact on people, because sometimes veterans went through really, really hard things, and being able to hold space for that is a really cool way to honor them, in my opinion.
That's right. And I think you mentioned in your little letter to me that there are multiple ways of gathering information on veterans. For example, you mentioned researching online, in-person interviews. Have you yourself ever interviewed a veteran? And could you go into a little bit of detail about what that was like?
Oh, absolutely. I love interviewing veterans. That's the best part of the job, in my opinion. So I'm recently working on a VOD, Veteran of the Day article for a veteran, Ed Doherty. I got to interview him over the phone, and we talked a little bit about his story. And the article's going up hopefully December 4th is what we're thinking here. And he served in the Korean crisis at Cam Duc. And it was the Vietnam. He served in Vietnam at Cam Duc and went through a really difficult battle and a really difficult, hard time. And he served for a couple of years and then went on to actually become a professional in the PGA and went on tour with the PGA from 1975 to 2008 and won several championships and actually did wonderful there and actually ended up opening up a train store selling collectible model trains. And we're highlighting him for National Model Railroad Month. And it's a really fun little experience to interview him, get to know his story, but also see the overlap between his life and my life too, the differences there. He collects model trains. My father collects model trains. And even someone who's been through a very, very different experience than me, getting to see those uncommon commonalities is just a really cool humanizing way of interacting with other people.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And I think it's interesting that you brought up the various struggles that he went through. I think, would you say it's fair to say that bringing those kind of things to light is also a part of what is so appealing about creating these Veteran of the Day articles? You get to highlight not just the amazing victories, but also all that these different people go through.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all kind of get caught up in who is the winner? Who is the good versus evil? Who is the superhero who came out on top? And I think sometimes we have to acknowledge that for our veterans, there was a lot of really, really hard things that happened. And sometimes it didn't feel like good won after all. Sometimes it feels like really bad things happen to really good people and we don't really know why. And I think highlighting that along with the struggles brings representation to the fact that we can be proud for the work that our veterans do, but we also have to hold space for some of the tragedies that they've encountered and not being scared to talk about that, because that's part of their experience. That's part of what they gave to our country. It's the whole service aspect that they gave up a seemingly normal life that kind of was going in one direction, and then they chose a different route and they chose to serve our country and give up a lot for that.
100%. And remaining on the general topic of just American history, you mentioned that one of your favorite projects so far had to do with the Native American Heritage Month.
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to talk a bit about that? Code Talkers, the Marine Corps, things like that.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to talk about that. So the reason I chose those two veterans for my VODs on the Navajo Code Talkers is I actually used to live on a Navajo reservation in Chinle, Arizona. And if you want to talk about a place that feels different and unique and is just a challenge in and of itself to live in, that's a place, Chinle, Arizona. And being able to write about veterans who have also been in this same area as me was just really cool personally. But being able to go into their stories of what was it like going from a group that was oppressed to a group that got to be highlighted for a skill that they had. So quick little history, the Navajo Code Talkers were Native Americans of the Navajo tribe that enlisted in the Marine Corps during World War II, who the unwritten language of Navajo was used to communicate and confuse enemies so that they could communicate plans and keep them safe from enemy lines. So different words would mean different things. We were researching, I did an article on, what was his name? Arthur Hubbard and Keith Little were two examples of Navajo code talkers who would use like the Navajo word for turtle to mean tank, or the Navajo word for egg to mean bomb. So that way you could communicate like what weapons were being used or where we were going and where we were rendezvousing in a way that wouldn't be understood by anyone else but the people who understood.
That's incredible. It's like their own sort of Morse code that they essentially invented.
And I think the most,
Oh no, go ahead, please.
I think the most fascinating thing is, specifically when researching Keith Little, is he went to a federal boarding school in Arizona on the reservation. And growing up in this federal boarding school, every single day, if he was caught speaking anything other than English, he would have to write, I think it was like 100 times on the chalkboard, "I will not talk Navajo, I will talk English." And going from that experience of being shamed for his culture and the language that he spoke, in then being able to use it every single day to fight for his country, is just a really cool parallel in my mind and showing that everything is a skill that we deserve to be proud of.
Yes, exactly. And I'm seeing here again, we're encountering that sort of dichotomy, the struggle, and then it's followed up by the great success. Do you think it's fair to say that your time spent living on a reservation in Arizona influenced your work here within the State Department?
I would say yes. I think living on a reservation influences a lot of the choices that I make in life because you get to see how some parts of our country are very, very different than other parts of our country. And some parts of our country experience very, very different challenges than other parts of our country. And sometimes we need to talk about those challenges. And I think it is okay to realize that some places encounter privilege that other places don't, and that those need to be addressed. The inequalities that other people in our region and our country have, and the fact that some people are set up for success and some people just aren't. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that some people aren't set up for success, and we can come alongside them and help them out and figure out what systems need to kind of be rewritten and readdressed in order to help those who need the resources.
Right, and where better to start than the State Department within the actual government itself? Systematic change, that's what we tend to talk about. Taking a slight swerve here, another point of interest that you mentioned to me was your Veteran of the Day on Reverend Dr. Arthur Whitaker. His story was a bit of a fascinating one, I think. Drafted in World War II, trumpet player. I remember I was reading your paragraph on him and I was just wondering, where is this going? You know, his career path, it just seemed so unpredictable. Would you like to say a little bit about what you enjoyed, you know, just working on his Veteran of the Day?
Sure. So Reverend Dr. Arthur Whitaker, he was a graduate of my undergrad at Gordon College. So I got to research him a little bit through our archivals department. And it was really exciting being able to read his story because, like you're saying, it just kind of didn't all piece together. He was drafted into World War II and played in the Army band as a trumpet player and was honorably discharged as a technical sergeant in the Army. And after being honorably discharged, he went to Gordon College, graduated with a degree in theology, and attained several other master's degrees in theology as well, and became an activist and a preacher. He said that he wanted to use his skills of rhetoric and the inequalities that he learned about throughout his life experience and pair that with the confidence he built in himself through being in the Army and in the military to then apply that into social justice. So he worked along with his really good friend, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., to create change in civil rights activism within the New England and New York area. And inevitably, he ended up being one of the major roles in establishing Martin Luther King Day, the holiday. So it was really cool seeing how someone from my small undergrad school on the North Shore of Boston was able to make this powerful change using the skills he had learned from the military and through his education.
Potential role model? Are we thinking about picking up the trumpet?
So funny story, I used to play the trumpet as a kid and just I didn't have the patience for it. It's a hard instrument. I won't lie to you. It's very, very hard.
Yeah, understandable. I thought about it too, and I swerved and took clarinet.
Oh, absolutely.
Circling back to the internship itself, how did you first find out about us?
Oh, it's actually really funny. So this summer, I was kind of scrambling to find an internship that I actually wanted to be involved with and actually felt was highlighting my skills. So I'm a junior right now. We're kind of at that point where we kind of think about what do actual jobs look like? What does the big workforce actually mean? So I had plans to seek out internships in Rhode Island, where I was originally from. And then this summer we moved to Albany, New York, which is very different and different connections and different opportunities there. But being brand new to an area, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how to get an internship. I didn't know how to network. I just had to start over. So about 4 years ago, I had gotten coffee with a woman working in communications at the Rhode Island Department of Health, just to hear about her story and how she went from an undergrad in communications to a job she loved. And this semester, as I was scrambling to find my internships and coming up on a lot of dead ends, she actually emailed my father the DME internship, and he showed me, and I thought it was way too good to be true. And I thought there's no way they'd accept me. There's no way this would ever work, but well, let's apply. Let's see what happens. And I was accepted. And I already had plenty of writing samples to show them. And with both my parents being Navy veterans, I thought this was a great opportunity and that I would be able to progress my writing skills exponentially. And so far, I've been more than impressed with the internship so far.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. It sounds like quite a story and with a lot of really good takeaways. You know, there's never any harm in applying for something that you just want to go for.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you really don't know, you know? How do you plan to use all of these skills that you've mentioned gaining in your vocational life?
Yeah, so the dream someday, if I had to kind of pinpoint what I want to do with communications and writing, is actually working for a Department of Health. So next semester, I'm starting up my master's in public health and hope be able to get that going. But the goal with being able to write well is to be able to communicate resources and ideas efficiently to many different groups. So with these VODs that we write, we have to take a ton of information about someone's life story and condense it down to, you know, 500 to 600 words and be able to honor this person's life while also kind of, you know, keeping it concise. And I think these skills will be able to help me communicate health policies and be able to communicate resources and other initiatives and things that are available to people in a way that's quick and efficient and understandable above all.
What kind of doors specifically would a master's in public health open up to you? I'm thinking like specific careers.
Yeah, so definitely working at a State Department of Health is an option. Working in that communications realm sounds really interesting. We also have plenty of other organizations in our nation that work tirelessly to provide public health information and resources. I think of places like the CDC, the World Health Organization, wonderful, wonderful organizations that do a lot of work to help people. And those would be the dream. However, I know it's kind of they're big opportunities and they're big goals to have, but if anything this internship has taught me is that it's okay to dream really, really big.
In the interest of keeping our listeners and potentially other writing interns, you know, in the know, I was wondering if you have any tips when it comes to knowing how to strike a good balance between this informative aspect of writing that you've mentioned as it applies to your job and some of the more creative emotional aspects, like when we're talking about interviewing these various veterans and keeping your reader interested, you know, but while also feeding them new knowledge and information.
Absolutely. And I think what it really kind of all boils down for me is finding what's the underlying story here. What's the theme? What's the message? What's the actual takeaway that we want people to see here? And there's lots of different things that that can be, but for example, like with the VODs that I wrote about, our Navajo code talkers, seeing how sometimes challenges can be overcome and how using hard work and how people can take the skills that they have and use them to their advantage and how it's okay to be proud of your culture and it's okay to be proud of things, even if people have kind of disregarded those, like it's okay to be proud of yourself and your identity is worth expressing. So those are kind of those like underlying messages and those underlying goals that allow you to communicate both a ton of information while also being able to find the story behind it.
Noted. I just wanted to make sure I got that on a sticky for my next college essay.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you've kind of already stated this, but I do think that it is absolutely worth reiterating. You know, I made this final question a bit of a sentimental one because we are, at the time of recording at least, approaching the holiday season. In most, you know, romantic terms, what do you love about this internship and the opportunities that it's afforded you so far?
Oh, wow. I love a lot of things about these internships, but I think what I love the most about this internship is honestly the care and the love I see from my other coworkers in this internship. I know you hear remote internship, you think, oh, there's no way these people are going to communicate with me. There's no way I'm going to make networking and connections. But honestly, I have felt very loved and poured into by the other people that I work with. For example, we have our resume Fridays, and every Friday you can submit your resume and people will give you feedback and really honestly constructive advice on how to make your resume better. And there was one Friday I submitted my resume and someone just really took a lot of time to give me very practical advice. And it was just so encouraging to see how someone took 15 minutes out of their day to pour into me and say that my resume mattered and the work that I do matters. Let's make it excellent now. And that's what I love about this internship, that they really focus on me as a person while also being proud of the work I do, but the fact that I as a person matters first and then the work I do matters.
Couldn't have worded it better, but what do you expect from a writing intern, right? With that, it looks like we are coming up on the conclusion of our segment. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me here today on the DME Interns podcast. Been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much. This was a wonderful addition to my day. You know, I love being able to talk with other people. This is what makes the internship really fun.
Very true. It's long distance, but, you know, with the advent of Skype, is it really?
No, you know, we're all used to it now. We love technology. It's a beautiful thing.
Very true. And now I would like to actually thank our listeners for tuning in. Do not forget to subscribe. And if you could give us a 5-star rating, we would really appreciate it. For more information about joining the DME Interns team, please visit dmeinterns.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Once again, this is Saga Jakubchek, and you are listening to the DME Interns podcast. Stay tuned for next week's episode.
I would now like to thank our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you could give us a 5-star rating, we would really appreciate it. For more information about joining the DME Interns team, please visit dmeinterns.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Once again, this is Saga Jakubchek, and you're listening to the DME Interns podcast. Stay tuned.